If you care about clean air, water, and food, and you want to see social justice for everyone, this podcast is for you. Green Divas Maxine Margo and Megan McWilliams and Green Dude Wayne Bouchard are going to dig in and try to make sense of the current political scene, especially as it relates to climate change, pollution, and human rights. We are not political pundits. We are deeply concerned citizens alarmed by the state of our government. We will try to offer rational commentary and solutions, amplifying positive news as often as possible. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Thank you so much for tuning us in. I'm Green Diva Meg.
I'm Green Diva Max.
And I'm Wayne, the Green Dude.
Green Dude Wayne.
Green Dude Wayne.
And there are so many times in the last 2 weeks that we all wished we could be here together because so much is going on that warrants commentary. But we finally got together.
Yay!
Woohoo! And we feel that we need to speak about the Kavanaugh, the nomination, all of the hoo-ha that's going around, and the hearing with Dr. Ford. So let's just start with the basics here. You know, the Supreme Court is so, so vital to the checks and balances in the crazy government we've got as it is. So I want to kind of throw this to Max to talk to us a little bit about why this Kavanaugh nomination is so critical.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we're about to appoint a Supreme Court judge, which is one of the most highly regarded positions. This is it. You aspire as a young lawyer, you must dream about one day maybe doing this, and you have to have composure, and you have to have brilliance, but you need to be a human, and not have certain flaws, which I believe after looking and reading and watching Kavanaugh go through this insanity, Wayne's going to, you know, give us a little background on what he thought from a perspective of
a dude,
but a human, you know, a human. And
yeah, so what you're saying is there's like a judicial temperament,
mm-hmm,
right?
And
the Supreme Court is the ultimate. And you really, our Supreme Court justices, like them or not, all are like pretty calm, wise-seeming people, right?
Right. And they would, you know, and Jeff Flake, you know, who's the senator who put this into a delay at this point because people particularly...
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Can we just give a shout-out to the dude?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a limited week, but at least it's something. And he, you know, he has a good friend in the Senate, Chris Coons, who's very passionate. And he said he and Chris, you know, they've traveled together a lot. They, you know, sat down with Robert Mugabe. They chased elephants literally in Mozambique, and they trust each other. And he is just, at this point, wondering what semblance of decency can be brought back to the Senate and what people look upon as the highest, you know, Supreme Court is one of the most, you know, trusted institutional branches of government. And so Flake said, like, the two institutions, really, which he meant, this one is the Supreme Court, is the lone institution which most Americans still have some faith, and then the U.S. Senate as an institution is the second one. And he said, quote, "We're coming apart at the seams. There's no currency, no market for reaching across the aisle. It just makes it difficult." He told Chris, "Our country's coming apart on this, and it can't." And we have this brave woman, Dr. Ford, who said in being questioned by a woman who was brought in because the senators didn't want to question her. This prosecutor who prosecuted sex...
Hearing also known as the circus.
Right, the circus. Wow. And she was questioned, and Ford said, you know, she maintained that she is 100% certain that Kavanaugh was the person who assaulted her at the gathering while the two were in high school in Maryland in
the
80s.
She seemed credible. But I want to still go back a little bit and talk about why this nomination is such a critical... It's coming at a critical time.
Right.
Because women are... But that's what I want. You know where I'm going.
Right. I mean, there's so much at stake.
Yeah.
And of course, Roe v. Wade, you know, women's reproductive rights are at stake. Kavanaugh claims he will let it stand. But I quite, after seeing him have a tirade, I mean, he was screaming. He was crying. He was almost like on his period, I hate to say it. But you know, I mean...
He was like hormonal.
I think that's pretty sexist of you.
It is, it's true because he, you know, seeing him in court react the way he reacted, I said court, and it's not supposed to be a court. It was supposed to be an interview.
Well, you know what really frosted me was watching all these men. You know, all these men in judgment of this woman and how they sort of rallied around Kavanaugh as like our poor brother. Anyway, I just feel like with the Me Too movement and everything that's going on, we are at a critical juncture where women do not want to be silent anymore. They do not want to be held down anymore, literally or figuratively, right?
True.
I mean, it's kind of like there's all these metaphors
right.
with everything that's going on.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
and I think it's important that you know that everyone should ask themselves the question: if Christine or Dr. Ford acted the same way as Judge Kavanaugh in this hearing, if she cried and screamed and stuttered
and spit
all over these senators. How would the United States media have portrayed her, and how would the public have perceived her? I don't think Fox News would have said that the GOP was losing this fight. I think that Fox News would have said that Dr. Ford was just a crazy, emotional woman. But yet, the men of privilege, Judge Kavanaugh, and Senator Lindsey Graham and President Donald Trump get to act this way under any kind of circumstances, and they're looked at as ballsy heroes of men.
You forgot Senator Chuck Grassley.
Scream. He didn't scream. He acted like a normal senator, and he's entitled to his opinion.
Wayne, tell the story about taking Brian to Congress, to D.C.
I took my son to Washington, some 20-plus years ago, and we had an opportunity to sit in on a Senate debate and a congressional House debate. And also some hearings. And the thing that struck me the most and my son was that these men, and they were all men at the time, acted with perfect respect of each other and perfect decorum. And they were able to call each other screaming idiots without saying that. They spoke very calmly. Mm-hmm. And asked the gentleman from Utah if he would yield his time to the senator from Massachusetts, and then they would call him a raging, crazy lunatic without ever raising their voice or saying anything
right,
that way.
Diplomatic flowery language.
In very diplomatic language and very respectfully, I might add. But all that is gone, and all that went away with the election of Donald Trump, who seems to get away with being a raving lunatic because he's a man of privilege. Judge Kavanaugh is a man of privilege. Lindsey Graham, another man of privilege. And why should these men of privilege and wealth be entitled to scream and rant and rave and get away with it?
Yeah,
I can't do it.
Right. It's like they opened the door and made it okay for, well, a lot of inappropriate and ugly behavior, actually.
Well, I mean, Trump said he can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, and it's okay. You know, and apparently he believes he's above the law, and they are actually letting him do that. I mean, think about it. He just, you know, he has women who filed suit against him, and that went away. That went away.
Well, I don't know why. It seems to be okay with his base that he is a disgusting sexual predator, that he can say disgusting things, he can behave abominably. And yet his base is like, yeah, it's okay, because he's getting stuff done. He's cleaning the swamp. I'm like, really?
I guess they've never seen a swamp.
The swamp got dirtier.
Right? It seems to me that they're wallowing in it. That's just my humble opinion.
Well, I mean, it a lot has been happening. I mean, there were protests in the Senate. There were these two women who got in an elevator with Senator Flake.
Oh, I really,
and,
yeah, that
and
was
they
powerful.
Said, hey, we've been, you know, we've been there and we support in Dr. Ford because it happened to us. And look me straight in the eye and tell me that that's okay and that you're going to say, put this guy in without a hearing, I mean, without further investigation.
I mean, he might be innocent of all this. He could be. I don't think by his behavior that he is.
Mm-hmm.
But does she not deserve a fair hearing? I mean, it seems from everything they've disclosed that it's not like she has come out of the woodwork suddenly. You know, she has. This has all been recorded since 2002, between therapist and telling friends and reporting it earlier. So it's not like she just suddenly decided she has, you know, wants to ruin his career. She wants to make sure that people know who they're putting on the Supreme Court bench for the rest of his life.
Right, which can be 3 decades, and our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be around when this guy is there, if there's a country left after he, you know. Again, you're right. You know, he could be innocent of all this.
Yeah, but why not? But, have an investigation.
But,
like saying that it doesn't matter to all these women, and it has been. And I'm gonna quote something from Marianne Williamson that really resonated with me. And she said yesterday, while they were deciding to not, what they were voting, that they were going to carry on with the vote at first, right? And we're all like, I mean, I literally was sick to my stomach. She said, they have done it now. They have harnessed the power of 1,000 hurricanes. It is not just that they have triggered the memories of every woman who has ever been sexually harassed or abused. Now they have triggered the memories of every woman who has ever had her opinion ignored or her feelings scorned. And then she goes on to talk about, you know, it was anything but respect that they treated her with. They, you know, whatever.
Well, they're playing with fire, literally. And the fact that there's about 185 women running on both the Republican and Democratic side for the House of Representatives.
Women are not going to sit by.
I think that they kind of are becoming aware that this is something that's going to really bite them in the butt if they don't, you know, do something.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it was women that really, well, Wayne, obviously, you were pretty upset when our president got, I can't even say his name, when he got elected, right? I was so depressed. I felt sick to my stomach. So when they put this women's march together, and remember they had the pea hats?
Yeah, you made me one. It was so cute.
Right?
And my mom has one.
I was so bummed out. I didn't know what to do. So I found the pattern, and I started knitting them and telling all my friends, if you want one. So it seemed to me that women were a major force rising against this sort of black mud slide. And I feel it still, like you just said, all these women are running. So we have in this district, we've, you know, an entrenched Republican has been here, Frelinghuysen, right? She's going for that seat, Mikey.
He's
retiring.
He's retiring because he knew he would lose.
Yeah. Well, because
they all are retiring because they know they're going to lose.
But, you know, this New Jersey 11th for Change started like basically stalking him and saying, we want to talk to you about things. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He still has not done a town hall with them. And so he's just like, forget it. I'm done. I'm out. Because he knew. And it was primarily women. There were men involved. And I know Wayne has been involved with that group a bit. The point being that now that, but that seat has been a Republican, you know, forever, right? Yeah, since,
well, because I don't know. I mean, we're gonna have some commentary from Pete Harkham, who's running for the 40th district in New York State for state senate, and that district has been gerrymandered, and we're going to talk about it in another show. But
yeah,
and it represents Westchester, Dutchess, and Orange, and it has been Republican since 1914.
Yeah,
and he's running against Terrence Murphy, who is a Trump guy. You know, he is, you know, everything that those who want him in that base to be, and it's all about the base, and that's a lot of trouble. But Pete is for, you know, women's rights and for the in New York State, and he's trying to get them to codify in the Senate women's reproductive rights, because if Roe v. Wade does go away, New York State will not have in place the ability for women to have an abortion and to get contraception. And this is New York State.
They're also really worried about reproductive health care. You know, the Republicans have blocked the Reproductive Health Act in the New York State Senate. Senator Murphy opposes that. Roe v. Wade there's an imminent threat, whether it's Kavanaugh or the next Kavanaugh, maybe in a nicer package, Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. So we in New York need to codify Roe v. Wade to protect a woman's right to choose, to protect the state-of-the-art medical care and the providers who give that care.
And then I spoke to Kathy Hochul, who's the lieutenant governor of New York State right now, and I spoke to her about what's going on with Kavanaugh and what's going on with women's reproductive rights.
She did not want to believe her story. And then also to see the volcanic, volatile individual who wants to become a member of the Supreme Court of the United States of America, that should have been a telling moment for anyone who was paying attention, saying, I don't want someone who has already come out in such a partisan way and has already denigrated the Clintons and liberals and Democrats and the media. I'm sorry. I expect my Supreme Court justice to at least pretend they're going to be impartial. He blew up. He exploded. And that was also a scary outgrowth of that hearing yesterday, not just what they put Dr. Ford through.
We have a song also.
Oh, yeah.
That we're going to
let's
put
do
in.
That.
Yeah, I think.
You want me to sing a song?
No.
Can you sing a song?
Not really.
Okay. We're going to do our own music.
Stop
soon.
Me now, baby. Just stop me now. But.
Please.
But my token bro who's looking from above, probably wearing his red
Mitch.
Nose.
His angel wings and his red nose.
And he talks so much about, you know, after the election, we had many, many talks, and the words clowns came up, you know, and not to say that clowns, there are good clowns, but then there are actual
creepy clowns,
really creepy clowns, and I think we're dealing with the creepy clowns.
Yeah.
And so he wrote a song called Liberty and Justice for Some, and one of the, you know, verses is, forget Election Day, it's Equal Protection Day. You don't have to vote at all. The Supreme Court will handle the call.
For some, forget Election Day, it's Equal Protection Day. We don't have to vote at all. The Supreme Court will answer the call. Those wise old owls in that tree have changed the course.
The Liberty Bell has lost its ring. My voice don't mean a thing. It only takes a 5-4 swing. Liberty and justice for some. Liberty and justice for some.
I think this is a good point where we should raise the issue of voting. How important is it to vote? Remember that Donald Trump was elected with the third most votes in the country. Hillary Clinton got the most votes, and the registered voters who didn't vote were the second highest in the country. So we have to make sure that we get all the registered voters to go out and vote, because these issues, such as Supreme Court justices, are very, very important. And we need to have someone in the White House and people in Congress and people in the Senate that will vote and vote their conscience for humanity, not for big business and privilege.
And it really does matter. I think so many people have felt that, well, it doesn't matter. The guy representing me doesn't really represent me anyway. But it does matter. And I can't remember who I was listening to earlier today, but they said it was someone I was talking to. Who was I talking to? They said they used to work for a congressional office. And she said, I want you to know that the congresspeople do care. When you call in and you voice your opinion, you know, they're staff make sure they do hear what you're saying, and they have to care about their constituency.
Right. So my son worked for a congressman a while ago while he was still in college, but he said they do. He worked for Jerry Nadler and he worked for John Hall, mm-hmm. and he said they do tally, and the more you call, the more they know that they've got to step up, and that's really true. And so it's important that on an issue that you are deeply concerned about, do call your congressperson. Do call your senator. I mean, the tallies do tally up, and it's important. And even more so now, I mean, to me, when I was speaking to Pete Harcum, who's running for state senate, he said that they looked at the voting in the primary, and it was astronomical compared to past times,
past primaries, right.
Which made me feel good. I mean, I don't know I forgot what he said the percentage was, but it's amazing. And just thinking and looking, I read that the viewership of this hearing was insane.
Yeah.
Over 20 million people tuned in. 20 million people tuned in
during the daytime.
During the daytime, both on cable news, network news, and streaming. You know, CNN had the most streams ever, 8.2 million people during the day streaming. NBC had 10 million. It just is phenomenal to think that on a Thursday, people literally stopped. And I was in an office, you know, at that time, and we were listening in.
Yeah.
We had it on the computer, and we were listening. And, of course, I was cursing, like, the whole time I was listening in. But it's amazing to think that maybe you're right, Wayne. Maybe you're bringing up the fact that the vote, people who didn't vote were second. But maybe now they're getting off their butt and realizing they can't do that anymore. I'm hoping, against hope, that that's the case.
We need to turn out as many voters as we possibly can for these midterms because of the importance of who is going to control the House of Representatives in the U.S. Senate.
Well, if nothing else, we need balance. And there are right now, it seems to me like there's a dangerous lack of balance of power, mm-hmm. and that things are kind of a dangerous skew towards, and that there's a little bit of like power mongering.
Well, this is very, very much people think, you know, they're using terms, you know, dictator. They're using, you know, terms that, you know, oligarchy,
dick,
fascism.
That's just me.
Right.
And when I say
that. Who put
that,
the dick in dictator? I mean, or we can counter it by saying there are people who think he's the king of gold,
yeah,
or the golden boy, or the golden guy, or whatever.
So the bottom line is we need balance, if nothing else. And, I mean, I don't know that it all has to be liberal. It'd be nice in my mind, but I think I would just be happy to have some balance.
That's the foundation of democracy,
right?
Checks and balances.
Right?
And we don't have any checks and balances at this point. We have people just running around screaming and yelling and voicing their loud opinion, and the louder they get, the more publicity they get.
Well, we've got King Baby in the White House running around, running amok, right? And according to every account that people have leaked, that he's completely running amok there. And so if he manages to control the Supreme Court, I mean, I was kind of always thinking the Supreme Court might save us, but it's a little scary right
now. Not now.
A little scary.
He gets to, even if Judge Kavanaugh is withdrawn, he gets to name the next guy.
And can I just say how infuriating it is, that little turtle man, Mitch McConnell, the turtle man face? I'm sorry, but he just looks like a turtle to me, like every cartoon of a turtle I've ever seen. But how could they block, you know, Obama's picks?
Right.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
And then justify racing through this. It's not.
Right. Well, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who's a good friend with John McCain, who must be looking down and going, did he have a lobotomy after I passed? I mean, what, you know, I don't know what happened, but he appeared to be the most outraged. And he said, he assured Kavanaugh at the hearing that he was on his side and that he had nothing to apologize for, as he sounded off on partisan efforts to, you know, ruin this guy's life. Graham called Thursday's hearing overly political and joined other Republican senators and Kavanaugh himself in accusing Democrats of acting in bad faith concerning how they handled Ford. Mm-hmm. Democratic lawmakers on the committee fiercely denied acting inappropriately and accused Republicans of neglecting their duties to get Kavanaugh confirmed.
I call BS on that.
I also call Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
And I also call that Wayne was alluding to back in the day that these guys went across
right.
the aisle.
Well, you used to have
they
Tim
went
O'Neil
across
and
the
and
aisle
Kennedy.
To get things
right.
done.
Yeah.
And now what we have is beyond a circus.
I know.
I think what we saw from Senator Lindsey Graham was his audition with President Trump for Attorney General, because as soon as the midterms are over, President Trump is going to fire Jeff Sessions, and
right.
Lindsey Graham is auditioning for the job. And he wanted to show the president that he is tough, tough as nails.
Or insane as nails.
Well,
you know.
But that's the kind of thing that the president really rallies around.
Yeah, he responds. So final thoughts. We've got to wrap it up, kids.
My final thought is that I would like to ask everyone who has any concern, if they want their sons and daughters and grandchildren to grow up and emulate that type of behavior, the type of behavior that pushes themselves on women, and the type of behavior that screams and yells and denies everything and gets away with it.
Oh,
is that what you want your sons and daughters and grandchildren to grow up and be like? Is that what this country is going to boil down to? Whoever screams the loudest wins. And I, for one, am totally opposed to having my children and grandchildren grow up to be bullies like they're out on the playground bullying people around. Not a good trait.
Could get noisy and painful.
Definitely. Next. Yeah, I agree with Wayne. We have to teach our children well, and we have to teach our boys well. We also have to teach our girls a lot of things, but we need to bring up gentlemen. You know, we need to bring up gentlemen. And right now, there used to be gentlemen in government, and it seems, you know, and I know there are there somewhere, but there's no balance, as you said, and that's an issue. And women have to be able to speak up about things and not be treated.
Bringing civility back to democracy, right. So we can function, right?
Exactly.
Peace out, people. So, yeah, thank you guys for a great session. Please find us on iTunes. You can ask your Alexa to listen. And find us on Twitter.
Facebook.
At GD underscore politics.
Right.
Instagram, GD underscore politics. And Facebook, The Green Divas, all of it. And please interact with us and let us know what you think.
Yeah, I would like to hear what you have to say because Twitter seems to be the way things are being governed these days.
We've been tweeting a lot, and we'd love to tweet with you.
Government by Twitter, for Twitter, and because of Twitter.
Tweet, tweet.
Don't be a twit.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of GD Politics. We really do want to hear from you. Please find us at thegreendivas.com or write to us, politics@thegreendivas.com. Otherwise, you'll hear and see us in all the regular places. Meanwhile, stay positive, get active, and whatever you do, please exercise your right to vote in every election.